Praise the Lord.
Once again, we are most welcome to yet another edition of Question and Answers, coming to you live from the Comforter Revival International Mission here in Jalingo, where the servant of God, the man of God, will take us through what we do not understand based on the scripture. And without much ado, we shall begin the program right away. So you are most welcome once again. Beginning, sir, with a question from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 18. What are the unseen things that the scripture is talking about, and how does one look at these unseen things? Thank you, sir.
Okay, let's read that 2 Corinthians 4:18. For us to get the clarity, let's read from 16. Let's read from 16.
I can read it. From 16, it says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal."
Are eternal. So from that scripture, I realize it says, for our light affliction. Affliction is something that is light. See, it's for a moment. It will soon disappear. But now, for affliction to disappear, you must look into what God said. What is eternal is the word of God. For instance, someone is sick, and it is obvious in his body or in our body that this person is sick. But the Holy Ghost quickened his spirit with the word of God that with his stripes you are healed. He lay hold on that. See? With his stripes you were healed. He knew that this is a past thing, it has happened. So such person now begin to give thanks to God for that. Now he's now seeing what is eternal, which he has to bring it to reality by giving thanks to God based on what God has spoken in his word. What is eternal is what God said. Because the word of God is spirit and is life. So what you are passing through is physical. That's what is temporary. It will not last for long. Thank you.
The next question says, what is door all about? Who is the door? How can one get access to the door?
It's okay. John chapter 10, verse 7 and verse 9. John 10, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep." Verse 9. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture." Jesus, the Christ, is the door. Access to him, you gain access to him by the blood of Jesus, and you gain access to him by thanksgiving and praises. In Psalm 100, it says, "Enter into his gate with thanksgiving and into his court with praise." So that's the access. Because without the blood of Jesus, no man gain access to God. I'm not done yet. I want us to answer everything very, very well this time around, so that we'll be able to get scripture passage that back it up. Hebrews chapter 10. We need to read verse 19 to let you know how to get access into his presence. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That's our access. By virtue of what Jesus does, by virtue of his blood which he shed for us, he has given us access into God's presence. So you enter into his presence by the blood of Jesus, then by praising and giving thanks to him. Let's read Psalm 100 from verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with singing. Look at it. And come before his presence with singing. And come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. That's 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. That's the key. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is the door. And to come to his presence is by the blood of Jesus, by thanksgiving, with thanksgiving, and with singing. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. So how can I analyze the vision that God showed me?
How can you analyze it? Now, what we call analysis means understanding of it. Mm-hmm. It's by asking questions. You are asking for the details of what he showed you. So when you ask questions, he responds to your question by giving you a correct answer. That's how to analyze. Analysis means understanding. Thank you.
So, what
not,
does...
Sorry, not only that, by meditating, keep pondering on that vision.
So, what does it mean to know something without understanding?
To?
Know something without understanding.
There is no how you can know something without understanding. Because there are three things. Hearing what God said, understanding what God said, will give birth to knowing. There is no knowing without understanding. And there is no understanding without hearing. So it began with hearing, you proceed to understanding, then to knowing. And until you know, someone will not be free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The first stage of the truth is to hear the truth. The second stage is to understand the truth. Then the third stage is to know the truth, which is the point of freedom. Let's read a passage that will help us. John chapter 6, verse 45. John chapter 6, verse 45. John 6, 45. It is written in the prophet, and they shall be all taught of God. Look at the first thing, taught of God. Every man therefore that has heard, this is the first thing, you first hear it, and hath learned of the Father, learning me understand, cometh unto me. It means for anyone to respond to any voice he had, he has to understand it. That is the point of knowing. Let's say, for instance, someone that drives a car. You will see that the first time he begins to learn driving, he's not confident. Fear is there, all these kind of things. But by the time he learns it and starts driving, you see that he doesn't really think of it. Driving has been programmed into his mindset. Knowing also needs to be programmed into our mindset. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. How do I imagine the invisible to become visible?
That's what we're talking of conversion now. To bring invisible to visible, that's very important. Now, everything you see today in the world, they are all invisible. They began from the point of invisible. Energy is the ability to do what? That's the definition. So the conversion of that invisible to visible, that's where the work is. To imagine the invisible to become visible, that's where conversion process takes place. It's all centered out. Okay, when you hear something, now what you hear is invisible. You have to analyze it. The point of analysis is where you think. Why is this thing like this? What God said? Why God said what He said? All these things start coming. Like for instance, let me share one thing with you in one scripture passage. It says, behold the lamp of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. That's John 1:29. The question is that, He taketh away the sin of the world. Where did He take away the sin of the world? Has to be known. How did He take away the sin of the world? Has to be known. Why did He take away the sin of the world? All these things comes when you begin to imagine. You realize that He took away the sin of the world on the cross. He took away the sin of the world by dying. And why He took away the sin of the world? So that Himself can take over, can occupy the space that sins occupy in one's life. So, at the point of thinking, okay, if truly it's true that God said that He taketh away the sin of the world, you must know where, how, and why. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. This question comes from Proverbs 20:13. Is this physical sleep or spiritual sleep?
Mind. Talk about your mind. The greatest danger that people have today is the sleeping of the mind. That's why the spiritual person is senseless. Or he has no sense. It means he doesn't reason. Yes. Let's read it. Verse 12 and 13. We have to read verse 12 before we can get the message of verse 13. Proverbs 20, verse 12 and 13. The hearing hear, and the seeing hides. The law hath made even both of them. The first thing you ask, why did God make your hair? Why did He make your eyes? Why did He give you eyes? It's for a reason. The time now began to say, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thy eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. He's not talking of the physical eyes. He talk of the eyes of the mind. Because anything that God deliver into your spirit, man, cannot become physical without passing through your mind. And the most important part of man is his mind. As we're saying, if you hear something, you need to ponder on it. Why is this thing like this? So at that point, it's the eyes of your mind now that you are using to see that makes you to be asking questions. The time you come, you get to a point in life, say, is that I'm going to continue? Will things not change? Why are things not changed? Talk to you now. That at that point, your mind now, something beginning to happen there. Because poverty is of the mind before it becomes physical. Because poverty is as a result of lack of understanding. And when understanding comes, then poverty will disappear. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30 to 34. Proverbs 24, from verse 30 says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. He lacked understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns. And needles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. You could see now that poverty is a result of lack of understanding. And why lack of understanding? It is because people did not ponder on what they are doing or on what they hear. It's a matter of mindset. And if someone lack understanding, he will never press for that. He will give up quickly. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Then Proverbs 23:23, which says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding.
Yeah.
This person wants explanation of this passage.
You buy the truth with a price. And that price is not money. The price to buy the truth with is time. Isaiah 55. Let's read from verse 1. Isaiah chapter 55 from verse 1. You know, the truth is the word of God. The truth is God himself. Mm-hmm. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Ye, come, buy wine and meat without money and without price. Now, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfy not? Hearken diligently, you see now. Hearken diligently unto me. That's the price. And eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. It's time. The greatest currency in the world is time. If you can exchange your time for anything you want, you will get it. Yeah. All of us here, we are product of time. A professor is a product of time. So it's time. Time is the price. Let's assume you decide to say, okay, you want to read a particular subject for 4 hours every day for the next 1 year. It will not be long, you will become an expert there. So the price to become an expert in any field is not money, it's time. You may not have a textbook. Personally, you can go to the library and read and gather the information you needed and leave the book there. So because with your time, when you have enough time, you don't have to utilize your time, then your desire comes to reality. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Does God allow bad things to happen to his children, as in the case of 1 Samuel 16:14? 1 Samuel.
Remember that God is good, and he never do bad thing. Any bad thing that happens is not God that does it, but God permits it to happen. Let's read that 1 Samuel. But the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. He didn't say the Lord has evil spirit. God permits Satan to do that because of what Saul has done. Give us Job chapter 34, verse 10. You see that far it be from God that he should do evil. Job 34. From verse 10, please. Thank you. Therefore, hearken unto me, ye men of understanding, far be it from God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should commit iniquity. For the work of a man shall he render unto him, and cause every man to find according to his way. Yea, surely God will not do wickedly. You see the word surely. Neither will the Almighty pervert judgment. But God can permit evil to happen. But it's not the originator of evil. He does not. And before that will happen, he will have been giving that person a series of warning, series of instruction. If they refuse, then what next? Now, is it God that make evil to happen to Job? The answer is no. You will realize that Job has two problems. Fear. And he justified himself before God. These are his two problems. Fear is a sin. So that's why he said, the thing that I fear most has happened to me. It's not that God. When Satan came to him, he said, Jesus, I said, no, don't touch his life. But why do you think that Satan comes to that? He has studied Job, that Job is fearful. Whenever his children is going out, they go out. When they come back, say, oh, let's sanctify them. They have done something or this or none of that. So he's full of fear. So that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I need the explanation of Psalms 121, verse 6. Does the sun or moon harm?
Does the sun or moon do what?
Harm.
Okay, now. Do you know that Satan took advantage of everything he can see? Satan always took advantage of whatever God manifests, God produces, or God created. Have you ever seen some people that they have to go and be looking at the sun every day to do enchantment? The necromancer, all of these kind of people. So that's it. I say, it will not allow the moon to strike you by day, nor the moon by night. God will not permit that, but Satan will like to harm you with the moon and the star. Yes.
So this person wants to know concerning the woman that was caught in the act of adultery.
Yeah.
Why was she judged, excluding the man that she committed the adultery with?
I don't know, because I am not there. I was not there. We read it like that as well. You know, such thing has been happening and it's still happening today. If I are related to an influential person, if you commit an offense, they will cover you. But if you are Mr. and Mrs. Nobody, they will expose you. It's still happening today. For instance, when you see a child or a son or a daughter or a son of a bishop committing an offense, they will cover it. But if it's a son or a daughter of an ordinary member, what happened? Yes, it's happening everywhere, and that one will not stop until the kingdom comes.
Okay, sir.
But I don't want us to look at why do they present the woman. I want us to look at the judgment that Jesus passed. That is the most important aspect of that matter. Woman may condemn her, but God never condemned. Jesus never condemned her, so she was free. So that is the freedom of that woman. And the empowerment that Jesus gave to that woman, at the end of it, all that matters. May God silence all your accusers. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Why is it that all the things that are not good, the Bible refers it to as school, e.g. Proverbs 9:18.
Proverbs 9:18. Proverbs 9:18. Let's read. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that our guests, is that Proverbs 9? And our guests are in the depths of hell. What is the question? What is the question there?
I don't understand it.
What is the question in that passage? Who is asking the question?
The person needs an explanation of that passage.
Is there any explanation there? If you look at what he said there, he talks about harlot. Now when harlot entices you, if you read from, because you can't use the verse 18 alone to conclude. You have to read this up. from up down. So he was dealing with a matter. You know, it's a proverb that needs interpretation. Say, when an adult entices you, say, don't eat so it. He may tell you that there is no problem. Know that there is a problem. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Hello?
Yes, I have a question, sir. Hello, sir.
What is the question?
Okay, sir. My question goes this way, sir. As a Christian, is it good to swear? Because I once witnessed something. An allegation was made against a lady. So she was called upon by a family that she should swear to a God. So, and to prove her innocency, the lady said she's innocent. Why they said if she's innocent, to which she's innocent, she should swear to the family. So as a Christian, sir, is it good for us to swear to prove our innocency, or what do we do, sir?
Thank you.
Matthew chapter 5 from verse 34. Matthew chapter 5 from verse 34. Let's see from 33. Again, ye have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the law thy oath. 34. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the head, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou hast not made one ear white or black. 37. But let your communication be yea, nay, for whatsoever is more than this, comment of evil. If anybody says swear, you know it's the devil speaking. Jesus makes that sin. So swearing by any means is not scriptural. Saint Jesus said, do not do it, it cometh from evil. Then don't do it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Psalms 2:1 says, why do the hurting rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Can you explain this passage, sir?
Why did the hurting rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Let me tell you, everything that comes from God, Satan will oppose it. God does things, his own thing, through people. Satan also opposed God through people. You could see the day of the apostles, the day that Peter and John, when they hid the man at the cripple, at the gate of Beautiful, the crippled man, then they rose up against them. They began to question them. What power do they use? By what name? All this became in Acts chapter 3 and chapter 4. Then when these brethren responded, instead of responding to the opposition, they went back to God and prayed. And they quoted this passage. Why did the hurting rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The king told the began. So whenever you are opposed by human beings, know that it's Satan. If what you are doing is of God, know that it's Satan that instigates them. So you don't need to answer the opposers, go back to God. Let's read the Bible. Acts chapter 4. From verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priest and elders had said unto them. And when they heard, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the hurting reach? And the people imagine vain things? 26. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Anything that is of God, that is genuinely from God, Satan will raise people to oppose it. Anything you are doing that is genuinely of God, in fact, you may be shocked. Your close friend may be the first person that writes. It's like that. So don't. But anytime you are opposed, don't answer those ones. Go back to God and lift all your voice in prayer. When the imam was building the wall of Jerusalem that was broken down, Sambalat, Tobiah, all of them, they rose against him. So don't think that anything that you are doing that it is God's vision, you know of it, they will oppose it. It's a normal thing to the devil. In fact, if the devil is not opposing you, it means what you are doing, check it out. So when they do it to the point whereby they know that they cannot overpower you, they may give you space small. They will only leave you for a while, not at all. They will look for another means again to come. In the day of Nehemiah, you know what they do? They say, come to the temple, let us become prayer partners. To tell you they are very crafty. So thank God he didn't listen to them. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, sir. Sir, there is a certain question that someone asked. That someone told him that every man, God creates a woman for him.
Mm-hmm.
So, sir, how can we justify those men that their wife died? That after one marriage, almost three wives. Such people, sir, I didn't know, do you believe in such... Yeah, can we have any Bible reference to that? That because Bible says made them male and female. And now his male died, he married another one. I know the one that had married three. So,
but do you hear in the Bible that until death, when death separates you with a woman, you have the right to pick another one. There is no sin about that. When he say in the beginning, he made them male and female. Did God know about the death of the woman or the man? Yes. Is he aware of it? Yes. When Sarah died, did Abraham took another wife? He's the father of faith. Did God kick against him?
So when we talk about the Satan, who is Satan?
Satan is Satan.
There's the second part of the question. Who is Satan and the bound spirit? What are the difference?
Come again, ma.
Who is Satan? And the scripture talks about some spirits that are bound presently.
That are bound, okay.
So who is Satan? And on one hand, and who are these spirits that are bound?
Okay, let's go to Jude, the book of Jude, verse 5. Jude, not Judges, Jude. Verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this. No, let's read from verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believe not. Verse 6 now. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Satan, when God created him, was not created as Satan. He was a leader of an angel, of angels, who led songs, choruses. You know, when you have a choir leader, you have choir followers. So those who are loyal to him, when he rebelled against God, they are the fallen angels that they came. These are the spirits that Satan is now using today to do wickedness. I'm not against choir. Please don't misunderstand me. I said, Satan is the one, his job is to sing. That's why, you know, the best ministry that Satan corrupted most is singing ministry today. So his subject, those angels that were under him. So when he decided that when pride enters, then his fallen angel followed him. And when the angel defeated him in heaven, they sent him here. So the angels followed him. So they are the evil spirit you see today. But what was the sin of Satan? Pride. God said, this is your domain. This is your, what you will be doing. Say, no, it's too small. Let me do much more. He said he will build his own throne far above that of God. That was the sin he committed. So, those is loyalist. You know, today, no matter what you are doing, you must get loyalist. In fact, if you go to ritual today, some people will follow you. So anything you do, you see some people. So that's it. So those fallen angels, those rebellious angels too, they are the ones that are called evil spirits today. But they are under chain. They are bound today under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. But you must understand it. And how do they attack people today? Through craftiness, subtle things. They just tell you something that, if you ask something that say, this thing is like this. I could remember one day somebody presented a product to me. I said, okay, what will be the side effect of this product? He couldn't tell me. And I asked the person, do you notice that everything that is called drugs have side effects? When he knew that I started this, he left me. They say, no problem, no problem. You can just go about it, no problem, no problem. Do you hear about those who borrow money in those who borrow money through this thing, through social media? They will never tell you that they are going to they are going to send your message to everybody that knows you if you don't pay. But when you are borrowing the money, they say, no problem, just click to this. Is that not so? And you click it, and maybe they give you 50,000. In the next 2-3 months, they say the money is already 80,000. And they will make sure they send your number to everyone you know that you are wanted. You wanted to run away. But they never tell you all these conditions when they say, just the eyes. Do you understand? Ritualists today, when they lure people to go and do ritual today, they will never tell you what to come after. I think to a child of God, you should ask details before you jump into anything. Thank you.
What is the relationship between wisdom, knowledge, and understanding?
Wisdom is an instruction. Understanding is analysis. Wisdom is application. Knowledge is what God said. Understanding is why God said what He said. Wisdom is the application of it. Because that's what, let's read Proverbs chapter 24. Verse 3. True wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge, you see the three were mentioned, shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Now, knowledge is what God said. Then understanding is, why did God say what He said? That's why you are now asking for details. Analysis. God will now show you why. Then, because if you don't know why God said what He said, you can never know how to apply yourself to it. So when you know why of a thing, the how to apply will come. The true knowledge, the house is built. I mean, true wisdom. Wisdom is the last stage. And wisdom will not surface without understanding. Understanding will not come into place without knowledge. That's how it works. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. How can a believer see in the spirit? Are there templates or procedure to seeing in the spirit?
You know, when we talk about seeing in the spirit, it's not physical. It's knowing in the spirit. You just understand something. Say, who tell you this? Say, I can't really say. Because a believer is a believer spirit, and the Holy Spirit is one and the same. When they say a believer see in the spirit, means the Holy Ghost whisper something to his spirit. Because the interaction of the Holy Spirit with Uma spirit is what we call inspiration. Okay, God said this. You ask, why is it like this? Understand it come. It means you are seen in the spirit. In those days, when you hear a prophet say, God showing something now, you think that it's physical. It's not physical. The thing becomes strong in the spirit. Or maybe you are doing something now. The same thought comes to you once. It comes to you twice, second time, and third time. You know that this is a matter. Maybe the first time that the thought came, you didn't respond to it. The thought came again. It came again. So by the time you study the scripture very well, say, but for the spirit himself, bear a witness with our spirit. So seeing in the spirit, by the spirit, your spirit must understand what the Holy Ghost is showing. That is the key to what we are saying. I've seen many people who are open to the devil several times. They say they want to see. They thought that seeing in the spirit is not physical, it's spiritual.
Thank you, sir.
So, a time will come when you walk with God to a point. What is spiritual becomes physical to you, becomes so real to you. Let's assume now, from this venue now to your house, if I've drive for about 2 months, it will tell you, I will tell you, you will know all where the portals are. Abi? You don't run into portals by me. You know. When you are approaching the place, you slow down. You know already. How do you know? Because you have been finding the place. As you see, as you go through a particular row physically, and you know all the same way, when you go through the word of God continuously, your spirit is beginning to see. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Can all the gifts of the Spirit be imparted through laying of hands? Gifts of the Spirit
be imparted
through laying of hands.
Siba, thank you very much. Let me tell you one thing about laying of hands. If a man of God lay hand on you, it's not that he's imparting spirit into you. He only wake up what is in you. Man have no capacity to impart the gift into someone like. This gift, spiritual gift, is of the spirit, not for man. That's why you see, a prophet of God can lay hands on someone who is not a prophet. That doesn't turn that person to a prophet. He only stir up that gift. Do you understand the point? No. Let's read our Bible so that we'll not be confused. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll read from verse 4, please. Because what they call spiritual gift. Let's read from verse 1 for clarity purpose. Because what God was dealing with there was not really spiritual gift. The Holy Ghost was correcting something there. Because the Corinthians Christians, they were idol worshippers before. So they are now missing both the spiritual gift with their what they were used to, with their familiar spirit, which is still happening today. Let's say now concerning spiritual, he was dealing with spiritual. That spiritual in the sight of God is entirely different from spiritual from the sight of the devil. Today we see people today in the name of prophet, in the name of this and this, they see visions. They are not seeing vision by the spirit of God, most of the vision today. But look at what this my brother was correcting, saying, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Then verse 2. You see the point he was dragging. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols. They were idol worshippers. So they were still practicing, they were still listening together. I don't know whether you understand the point. They were still listening together. Even as ye were led, idol as they were led, they didn't throw it away. They didn't see, they are still using it together. In the name of the Lord. But Apostle said, you ought not to be so. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. You could see now, from idol, now you want to shift your attention away from that idol they lay hold on. Now, verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same spirit. You can see someone who is not spiritual today. You see some things, it seems. You wonder how did they come. It's not spiritual at all. You know, you see the way it does. Yet, it's doing something that I will check now. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Remember what this brother was correcting. He wanted to say, look, this is your idol kind of activity that you are mingling with spiritual things. You are not to be so. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with her. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. It's not given by man. spirit against to man. Not man giving to man. Now, verse 8 now. To one is given the word of God by the... For to one is given by the spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge. By the same spirit. That is it. If we really go down like that, now you see. But you may say, okay, why did Brother Paul say what he said? You will now realize that it was dealing, what Brother Paul was telling Timothy was different from what he said. See, when I come to Rome, I would like to come so that I may impart some spiritual gift unto you. The Brother Paul did not say, I have the gift to impart. Not at all. No single man have the gift of God to impart to another one. When you lay hands, I am man of God, lay hands on you. What happened is that the gift of God in you will be what? Still. Because if it is like that, that a man of God can impart the spirit, it means the moment a man of God lay hands on you, you started behaving like him. Yeah, it's not like that. No. Because I've seen this have become a problem in the body of Christ today. So I would say, okay, this is a mantle that a man of God gave him, so that no. All of this is no. You don't see, you can't be another person and nobody can be you. You can't. Okay, Brother Timothy that stayed with Brother Paul for years and he handed over the baton to. Do you hear about his exploit that he fought? No. He cannot. Just try, look, behave, be yourself. Be yourself. Understand your calling. Build yourself up in that area and allow God to use you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. This person wants more explanation on the Garden of Eden.
The Garden of Eden?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What is the explanation about the Garden of Eden?
What is the garden?
What is the garden? It's okay. The garden is the garden. Now, the Garden of Eden. See, in the east of Eden, the Lord God planted a garden. You will see now, as we are all here now, we have different way, different assimilation. Is that true? Different way of thinking. They may teach us the same thing. Somebody may grab the 90%. Another person grab the 70%. Another person. Do you know that your own Garden of Eden, your own garden is your mind? That's what you have to cultivate and keep. That's why I say, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are issue of life. And when God talked to Adam, he said, dress it and keep it. Do you notice those words there? Dress it and keep it. Remember that it's not Adam that planted the garden. God planted the garden and put him there. So when he's no longer keeping it and dressing it, what happened? He was thrown out of it. But Jesus, who kept the garden, Satan said, if you are the Son of God, do this. He said, no, it is written. That it is written, didn't fall on Jesus that day. It is what Jesus has taken in. Because your input will determine your output. That it is written, he gave to Satan that day. It didn't come from heaven. He only quoted Deuteronomy. The three temptations, he quoted Deuteronomy. Let me read it for you. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3. Let's read. Quickly. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy father know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. That's the fourth, Abi. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. The three temptations, where Jesus brought those things. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16, quickly. Thank you. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God. as he tempted in Massa. Then verse 13, the third one. Verse 13 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shall swear by his name. This is the three scriptures that Jesus used to kick against Satan. Because the moment you become born again, your food, the food for your spirit is the word of God. The word of God you take into your life will determine the word of God you take out in time of need. When Jesus was born, the prophecy of Jesus came when he was to be born. He told us what Jesus will eat. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 and 15. Isaiah 7, verse 14 and 15. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. How will this Emmanuel, how will it succeed? How will it prosper spiritually? Verse 15, give us the answer. Butter and honey shall it eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and to choose the good. Now, in Proverbs 24, verse 13 and 14, my son, eat the honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul when thou hast found it. Then there shall be a reward, and the expectation shall not be cut off. Anyone that the word of God is, it doesn't desire the word of God, I guarantee his failure tomorrow. Anyone that the word of God is not his primary aim and objective today, honestly, I doubt it tomorrow. So your Garden of Eden is amount of what God said that you put into your life. It transforms you. It renews your mind. Then, anywhere you go. That's why Jesus said then, don't carry money, don't carry purse, just go. As you keep doing what I send you to do, empower you to do it, then what we eat will come. That is the gospel. So your Garden of Eden, if you can till your land very well, you have enough bread. If you can cultivate your mind very, very well, because your mind, the evil dwells there. Anything you accommodate there is accommodated. Anything you reject from your mind is rejected. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. This person wants to know whether it is true that firstborns are useless.
There's nothing like that in the Bible. Yes, I've seen some people that have program for firstborns and all of this. When Jesus came, Jesus was the firstborn. Abi, from the dead. Is he useless? No. There's nothing like that. But you know, when we are Old Testament, when we lack the understanding of what the Old Testament said, then it may become a problem to us. In the Old Testament, firstborn represents Adam, the old man. The younger represents Christ, the new creature man. That's what Galatians chapter 4 explains. That Abraham had two sons. I said, let's read it. I know some people, they thought it's all about Reuben. Do you sleep with your father's wife? What was the sin of Reuben? Reuben slept with his father's wife. His father now told him, say, he will not as there. But when Moses came, the thing changed. Moses reversed it. Firstborn represents old creation man. Let me, please give us Galatians chapter 4. We are going to read from verse 22. Galatians 4 from verse 22. Quickly, thank you. For it is written that Abraham had two sons. Please listen to this very, very carefully. It will help your life. That Abraham had two sons. The one by a bond maid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bond woman was born after the flesh, after the senses. But he of the free woman was by promise. You see where the matter lies now. Which things are allegory? For these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendered to bondage, which is Agar. Next verse, please. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answered to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. 27, thank you. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. That the new creation man. Now, but as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what fear the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Now, when you talk of the firstborn, if I want to define and answer anybody, the firstborn of my own family, of my own father family today, is Jesus. I don't know about another person, but me, with my understanding of this, the firstborn, he is the firstborn from the dead. I said it again, your biological parents are simply a vehicle that transported you from heaven to this place. So if the firstborn is useless, the firstborn of my own father is Jesus, and it's not useless. So, but if we carry the mindset of the whole testament and what people tell you, not what the scripture says, you may agree with that. But there is nothing like that. Do you understand now? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. So how can I balance grace and faith, knowing that there are two powerful forces to receive from God?
Faith, grace releases what love conceives. Why faith receives what grace releases? Simple. Everything we see in the kingdom of God today is released to us by grace. And we receive them by faith. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. That's why they call the abundance of grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. You are saved by grace, but you receive that salvation by faith. And are not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Grace. Then Titus chapter 2 verse 11. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. Grace brought it. Faith received it. Verse 11. I say verse 11, and they say verse 12, thank you. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Grace brought it. Eh? Faith received what grace brought. That's the difference. Because Jesus is called, let's read again. John chapter 1, let's read verse 14 and verse 16. Grace releases what love conceives. Faith receives what grace releases. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Then verse, and of his fullness have all we receive, and grace for grace. How do we receive that grace? By faith. Then Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2 now. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Everything that God releases to us through Jesus Christ is released by grace. But we can only receive them by faith. We have access by faith into this grace. Wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Then Romans chapter 4 verse 16, please. Without the release of grace, there is nothing faith will receive. Therefore, it is of faith. That it might be by grace. You see now. Grace releases what God gave us. Then faith receives what grace releases. Thank you.
So how can I decrease for God to increase in my life?
By accepting what God said. By practicing what God said. If you are praying in the Holy Ghost, you are breathing Him, the life of Jesus, then your own life is diminishing. John chapter 3, verse 29 and 30, will give us the answer very well. By preferring what God said than what is happening to you. He that had the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiced greatly because of the bridegroom's words. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. Now, if you position yourself, you discipline yourself, say you want to be hearing God and obey what He said, honestly speaking, all what you have accumulated for years that has directed your life, you see that it started changing. That's how to do it. He said, pray, you pray. He said, give, you give. He said, forgive, you forgive. You see all those things. As you hear it, you understand what He said and you practice it. What happens? He will be increasing, you will be decreasing. Before somebody offended, you say, I will never agree this person till heaven comes. But when you read the word of God, it says, forgive. You forget. You are even the first person to even greet the person. So, that is it. Thank you.
So, what does it mean to deny self?
To deny yourself is to pray. That's the first step to deny yourself. To pray. Huh? Because Jesus said, Let's go to Luke chapter 9 from verse 23. Luke chapter 9 verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, it didn't say let him cast himself out. Deny it. The first question you ask yourself, what is self? Self is what your five senses have accumulated. What you can see, what you can hear, what you can feel, what you can perceive, and what you can touch. Now, a blind man now, for instance, a blind man is going. How did a blind man just hear the sound of a car? Did he know whether the car is so powerful or not? He didn't know. What did he know? He's not seeing it. Now, your spirit is willing to communicate with God. Your flesh says, go and sleep. After all, in the next 2 hours, you wake up. You realize that you wake up in the morning. Yes. Your spirit just says, I wish you didn't eat today. And it's that day, early in the morning that day, you begin to perfume the aroma of food. You refuse. You go and eat. The spirit says, pray a while today. As you pray a while today, your phone rings. As you pick, you see a message from WhatsApp, you began. You forget that one. See, these are the things, distractions. Your flesh is a distraction to your life. I say, let him deny himself. It means if you are denying yourself, it means you are not denying someone. Abi? Let him deny himself and accept what God said. The best way to deny yourself is to pray. As you keep praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit, you are denying yourself. And you know one thing? If God wants you to just pray for 2 hours, if you refuse to pray for that 2 hours, whether you pray or not, that same 2 hours will come and will go. So that's it. Thank you.
God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. How do I experience them physically?
You know, it is spiritual, right? That's where conversion takes place. Conversion is the most important word you ever hear in your life. Everything today is energy. What we call spiritual anointing is energy. But you need to bring it to physical. Because bringing it to physical is what blesses people. But when it is spiritual, it blesses only you. Abi? Yes. You are moody personally. And the Spirit of God says, open your Bible, you open your Bible. And it shows you where to read, and you read, and you begin to practice, say rejoice, you begin to rejoice. It blesses you, right? Now that is an energy within you, it's a blessing, spiritually. And you see another person moody, you pass by. It means that blessing is spiritual, it never affects anybody. But as I say, my sister, my brother, why are you like this? There's something I just catch today. God just show me something now. Can we just look at it together? And you make sure that you do it until the person grabs the reality. What has happened now? It has led spiritual to physical. Because physical thing is what blesses others. Am I communicating? Spiritual thing blesses only you. But when that spiritual blessing that blesses only you is converted to physical, it blesses others. That's why somebody may have inspiration to write a book. By the time he put that inspiration into writing, he put it into writing and he published the book. The book will be blessing others. It means he has converted that idea into physical something that blesses people. Conversion is the key. Conversion is the key to what we are saying. Every spiritual thing that, every blessing that God gives us is first spiritual before it becomes physical. And the only way we can transmit it from spiritual to physical is through conversion. That is, it has to pass through your spirit to your mind. Nothing comes out of you without passing through your mind. So you have to first change your mindset. What would be the benefit thereof? How would you say blessed or that? How do I present it? All these things beginning to come. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. So in one of our meetings, specifically yesterday, you said the gospel of Jesus Christ releases healing to people if it is properly
delivered.
Yeah. And my question now is, if it is not properly delivered as it is today, who is to be blamed?
Who is to be blamed? Who is to be blamed?
Yes, sir.
The channel need to be blamed. The channel. The one who came to deliver. The Holy Ghost came to deliver through a channel. Human channel. It means that human channel did not cooperate with the Holy Ghost. Now, give us 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Say, for the letter are killed, but the spirit give a life. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Now let's read from verse 5. From verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Verse 6. Who also have made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. When a preacher did not understand a passage, and he go out to preach it, it will not bless people. Because a preacher's spirit and the Holy Spirit must work together. That's why in your prayer time, when you are praying, as you are praying, you are asking questions. When the understanding of what God said is well done into your spirit mind, you understand it, then the Holy Ghost will simply move out through your life to bless people. Do you get the point now? So, but any word of God you didn't understand, that someone did not understand, if we preach it, it will bounce back, it's a letter. It won't bring the results. For the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. For the letter killeth. What is letter? You just read what God said without understanding it. That's letter. And that's what is flying everywhere today. Now, may I ask you a question? Or may I just share an illustration, not a question anyway? How many of you have seen, I know many of you have seen egg before. When egg is boiled, before the person that will eat the egg, what must he do first? He has to remove the shell. But if he refuses to remove the shell and just put the egg in his mouth, will he enjoy the taste, the sweetness? No. And I will remove the shell, there is a white one that cover it first, before the yolk. The sweetness of the egg is the yolk. Now, for us too, the word of God is like egg. He had the outer part. He had the middle and he had the three. It is where life is. It's when the Holy Ghost made the word alive into your spirit, not into your head. Then you can easily explain it the way it ought to be explained. It is then that it blesses people. Now, for instance, some person are sick. They go to the scripture with his stripes, I am healed. Yes, sickness remains. They confess it to maybe for 1 month, nothing happened. Why didn't something happen? Because they are just confessing it. That word which is right, you are here. He has not understood it at all. It has not become life in his spirit. And whatever did not become life in your spirit can never become life in your body. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Somebody wants explanation of 1 Corinthians 7 from verse 12 to 14 and 1 Corinthians 14, 34 to 35. 1 Corinthians 7, 12 to 14.
Let's read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 12 to 14. Please. But to the rest, speak I not. Speak I, not the Lord. If any brother have a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. If we look at this contents of that, if any brother, a believer, half unbelieving, the first place, who do you suppose to marry as a believer? Did a believer suppose to go and marry an unbeliever in the first place? Because now what this brother is saying here now, he's dealing with the branch here, not the root. And the woman which has an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave her, leave him. Verse 14. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. So explanation you may ask me there, if I'm to tell you now, is that number one, in the first place, a believer should marry a believer. A believer should marry a believer. Because issue of marriage today, I'm so, in fact, you see a lot of things today. God told me that this is my wife. It's okay. And when somebody come to you for counsel, say, God told you. You say, God said, you say, yes. Who are you to say this? No. He's not seeking for counseling. He's only telling you, he's coming to tell you what God has told him. Then you go ahead. The only way you can help that person is say, Lord, let the will of God be done. And then when it's not there, say, Lord, if it's not your will, scatter it. That's all. Now, chapter 14, verse 30, what did you say? Okay, let's go there, please. Let your woman keep silence in the church, in the churches. For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also said the law. Please, what God is saying here is different from what he said in where we are coming from. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husband at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What is happening here is different from where we read them. Now I talk about marriage. This one talks about operation in the church. There are two different things. You know, some people's wife today preach for peace to reign at home. See? They have been preaching for the past 2 years. I need to preach today. It's okay. It will now do one kind of acrobatic introduction. Today, by the grace of God, our mama will be delivering message. Let me tell you everybody hear me. God called me into ministry. God didn't call my wife into ministry. Our coming together is to support me. Do you understand my point? I have received the call of God before I even saw nothing. Because God gave work before wife. He gave Adam work before wife. And I see many people that say, God called them together with their wife. Is not true. Forget about this nonsense. Go back to Genesis. When you see God talk to Adam, he gave Adam work before wife. And the reason why God gave wife is to support what Adam is doing. And if we are to support someone, is it not what the person needs? Support me in this area or this area. That's what this brother was talking about. In Corinthians, they are gifted and they are misbehaving. The same Corinthians say, the spirit of a prophet is subject to a prophet. You will see all manner of things in that place. Because of that, they are idols. You know, they were carried away by dead idols. They came to the shore to practice what is practiced in the idol world. To the point that when they wanted to administer Holy Communion, they won't wait for one another. Their misbehavior was so much. It is in the church of Corinthians that a son will sleep with his father's wife. What kind of thing is that? So this brother was not correcting them. So what he said there was different. Like for instance, a preacher wife needed to ask questions or to know some things before he comes, he's coming to deliver it whenever the needs arise. He said, ask your husband. Don't come and say what you don't understand and disgrace both you, the church of God, and your husband. And this is what is happening today. Let's bless the people. Oh yeah, my wife come here. Let me hold your hand. All of these things, I'm sorry to say, they are not scriptural. I don't need an apology to say what I'm saying. It is the man that God called. In another occasion, God may call your wife as well to preach, and he may tell you to support her. But as far as I'm concerned, as far as Brother Noah is concerned, as far as Onyibo is concerned, as far as the brother that we work together are concerned, now then God call you. I don't know whether they have a different thing. Maybe they will tell me after the meeting. But we have done our meeting. God call you. Good and fine. Thank you.
So a follow-up question to the first question concerning the unbelieving
wife
and unbelieving husband.
Yeah.
The latter part of the passage says the unbelieving is sanctified by the...
Yes, I understand. The question now today is this. You see, sometimes when I look at some funny thing going on, I laugh. Excuse me. There is a level of spirituality you have that anything can pull you down. A woman is spiritual. The husband don't even know God at all. I trust you. I bet your falling. This time is not taking. See, let me tell you this. This journey we are talking about. Do you know if a woman is spiritual and the husband says, don't go out. Don't know if that woman go out, he has committed sin. May you never have unbelieving husband. It's even a little bit fear, not fear completely, if you have unbelieving wife. You can decide to come under the rain and do the VG. Say, Lord, deliver me. And God will answer you. But now, if a woman that believes God, and the husband doesn't believe God, and let's say one pastor say they should have a VG in the church, and the wife says he's going to 9 VG, and the husband says, is it the whole church? He said no. How many of you are going to that 9 VG? He said there are 3. He said you are not going. Do you know Iban? But if it is the woman that says you are not going to this 9 VG, if the man comes, the man never comes to church, because the husband is the head of the wife. And one thing I've learned, and it's in the Bible, I think we need to read this thing. Numbers chapter 30. Can we read Numbers 30 quickly? From verse 1. And Moses spake unto the heirs of the tribe concerning the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the law has commanded. If a man bow a vow unto the law, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. he shall do according to all that proceeded out of his mouth. If a woman also vow a vow unto the law, and bind herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth. Please, the next verse. And her father hear a vow, and her bond wherewith she had bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace at her. Then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith, she had bound her soul shall stand. Verse 5, quickly. But if her father disallow her in the day that he heareth it, not any of her vows or of her bonds wherewith she had bound her soul shall stand, and the law shall forgive her because her father disallowed her. The next verse. And if she had at all an husband, when she vowed or uttered aught out of her lips wherewith she bound her soul, and her husband heard it, and heard his peace at her in the day that he heard it, then her vows shall stand, and her bonds wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. The next verse. But, this is where I'm going. But if her husband disallowed her on the day that he heard it, then he shall make a vow which she has vowed, and that which she uttered with her lips, wherewith she bound her soul, of no effect, and the law shall forgive her. Can you see the issue now? So, now, if a woman say is a believing woman and the husband is not believing at all, that person has to be close to God for divine intervention of that man. That man can stop that spirituality. And there's nothing that woman can do. Thank you.
So you said the gospel of Christ is the love of God. How do we apply this to a friend who is not born again, but claims he is, yet in attitude and way of life he doesn't?
You apply to yourself first. If your friend, when your friend is pleased with your life, he will ask you. Then you will tell him or her how God has helped you. When the gospel come to you, it come to you first. He send a word unto Jacob and enlighten. My challenge is today is that we always bother what we have not practiced. We want others to practice it. Practice it yourself first. Then it will be easy for you to convince your friend. Your life first before your friend's life. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. What is praying in the spirit, and how can we pray in the spirit effectively?
By praying in the spirit effectively. Praying in the Holy Ghost means you pray in the Holy Ghost. You by praying in tongues. That's your simple. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. What can someone do biblically to overcome forgetfulness?
To overcome forgetfulness. Good and fine. Very good and very fine. To overcome forgetfulness. When you are born again, you are born again. Your spirit man is alive. Now, it is the duty of your spirit to educate your mind. So if you have a forgetting thing, it's because you are deliberate as a child of God to forget things. That's where you have to apply discipline. When you know that you easily forget things, what other people read once, you read it 20 times now. After reading it, read it loudly. Then, ask questions. It will help you. Read whatever you are reading loudly and ask questions. And again, be deliberate to know. When you are deliberate to know something, not just casual, and let me just ask, you know, some question will come now. Some people may just ask, let me just ask the question. God will not bless you if it is just. But when you are asking questions based on learning, you want to learn, then you will grab something. That's the best way to overcome. If I'm reading my Bible in my closet, I read it loudly. Because I don't know anything. And I want to know. Yes. If I'm to read one chapter of the Bible, I read it with the whole of my heart. Because I want to learn. I didn't know anything. So I'm a learner. I keep learning every day. That's how to learn. That's how to overcome forgetfulness. Because forgetfulness is not of God. Because it will say it will make you of quick understanding. Of quick understanding. It means a child of God should have quick understanding. And it said the Holy Ghost shall bring to your remembrance. So when the Holy Ghost come upon a life, a lot of things take place. Because he came to deliver you from shame to glory. Forgetfulness is of the devil. And when God comes in, devil step out. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. As a parent, how can someone handle a child that is stubborn so that the child's soul will not be lost to the devil?
A child is stubborn. What makes a child to be stubborn? Then, when you know what makes a child to be stubborn, deal with that. Again, in every step, commit that child to God in prayer. And ask the Holy Ghost on how to help that child out of that trouble. When they say children are stubborn, I wonder. In the sense that you are the father of a child. You are taking care of a child. He eats your food. He sleeps in your house. You wake up for devotion, for instance. The child says he's not coming out. In my house? See, let me tell you the truth. Let me tell you, the fault is parent's fault. In the sense that, let me tell you this. A child, don't say until my child reach 10 years before I begin to give him the discipline he needed. I'm not talking about beating, no. Now, you encourage the child. What you want to teach the child, tell the child the importance of it. The benefit thereof. If you begin like that, the child will listen to you. And number two, you cannot impart into your children what you are not practicing. For a father or a parent to say, okay, you want to help your children grow spiritually. And you yourself are not growing, you are not growing spiritually. How will he listen to you? In fact, you will be surprised. They say, daddy doesn't pray. And he wants us to pray. You know, children will tell you that. So that's it. And children, they learn by observation much more than you're talking. Me, I don't see any big deal in dealing with the children. Very, very simple matter. Play with them, give them what you want to give them. Because you should know that God gave those children under your care to bring them up spiritually. Many of us now, many parents today now, they are so serious about the academic of the children. But spiritual condition of those children, it doesn't matter. I went somewhere, a certain place in a certain school. I saw a certain parent came to drill the children by 6 a.m. 6 a.m. in the morning. And one of the staff of the school said, this pizza parent will be the person that will come and pick the children last. She preferred business to the children. 6 a.m. for God's sake. And I asked, what time did the school open? They said 7:30.
What could make it, and the child is not even up to 4 years? What could make a parent to come and drop the child?
It means that parent is not responsible. Some parents today, they have shifted their responsibility to teachers. That's why when they get holiday, they say, let holiday finish quick. Because they see the children as disturbance to them. Let me tell you, the responsibility of training your children first is for the parent, not for the teacher. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. So how can I move from being in the spirit to being in God's presence?
From spirit to being God present, good and fine. Every child of God is in the spirit, but not every child of God is in God present. Do you know sometimes you get, you say you want to pray. The first 30 minutes of your prayer, your mind is wandering. Abi? You don't even get connection at all. You don't connect. Is that true? You know yourself that you are just talking. You know nothing is happening. At that time, you are not in the spirit. You are in the spirit, but you are not in the present. It means you and the spirit of God have nothing to do. To be in God's presence, you must know why you are there. You must know what God said, and you respond. To be in God's presence is that you are responding to what God said deliberately. Am I communicating? You are responding to what God said deliberately. Like now, I say, come to His presence with singing. The first thing is that you know that before you approach God in any way, whether to approach, you know, when we hear that now, we say that when we are coming to a meeting like this, it is that you are coming to God's presence. Abi? No. Do you know if you want to open your Bible to read, which presence are you going? If you want to communicate with God in prayer, which presence are you going? Then you have to practice what you say. Sing. Just raise any song for yourself. You know, every religion in the world today pray to tell you that power is not in prayer, power is in God's presence. Many religions pray, Abi? But not all of them are powerful. Because power is only released in God's presence. The reason why we confess many words of God today, the word of God takes no effect. It is because we confess the word of God outside God's presence. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say, when do I say? When I am in His presence. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. Now, He did not say, He that visited the dwelling place. He said, He that dwelleth in the secret place. He didn't say, He that visited the secret place. Unfortunately today, many Christians, they visited the secret place. They don't dwell there. The only time they remember that God exists is when they come to a meeting like this. If nobody is there, you are not even in the Bible, a scripture should be going on within you. You said something here. As you said it, God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. God has blessed us. Not that God will bless us. Oh, thank you for blessing me with all spiritual blessings. As for thanking Him, you will now say, Lord, what are those blessings? From there, things began. It does not mean until you kneel down to pray. As for, sometimes I sit down with people like this. We are talking, but what is going on in my mind is different from what we are discussing. Maybe there is a particular scripture pattern I want to understand what the depth of it. Do you get the point now? So, every child of God is in the spirit, but not every child of God is in His presence. Thank you.
Sir. Thank you, sir. What is the difference between service and activities?
Yeah. Service is what to do with joyfulness and gladness. Activities is what to do without joyfulness and gladness. Simple. Activity is what they constrain you to do. Activities is what to do. If I didn't do this thing, they would say I don't do it. But this service is what to do
intentionally. Give us Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 47 and 48, quickly. Deuteronomy 28, verse 47 and 48. Thank you. Deuteronomy 28, verse 47. Not verse 4. Say, because you did not serve the Lord thy God with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things which he has given you. Therefore, you will serve your enemy which you do not know, and he will place a yoke of iron upon your neck until he has destroyed you in hunger and in thirst, in nakedness of all things. So any service you are rendering without joyfulness and gladness of heart is not acceptable. I was asking our brother, this morning he left house, going up and down. The question is that who constrained him? He was doing it deliberately. We joined. And one of the places he went to today, he said, kneel down, let me pray for you. That's the reward. But if somebody has said, go, he may feel reluctant. You know, I find a lot of hypocrites in the body of Christ today. He will say spiritually that you do something. And if the person is not there, you do it the way you like. The world is waiting for you. So that's service. Service is what to render with what? Joyfulness and gladness of heart. But activity without productivity, you go up, you go down. Say, where are you? They say, I don't even know. Yes. That's some people may come here now to sweep, for instance. I'm not saying everybody that sweep, they believe like that. They are sweeping, but they are not here. Oh my God. Do you understand my point? So that is it.
Thank you, sir. And what is the difference between prayer of petition and intercession?
Prayer of petition and intercession.
Yes, sir.
You are interceding for something. The prayer of intercession, you want to intercede in the behalf of someone. Then you must have the word of God for that. You want to intercede for your sister on a particular issue. Then you must have the scripture that validates that. This is what God said concerning this matter. For this reason, God has to intervene. But prayer or petition is a petition. You know what is meant by petition? That one, you are not interceding for someone. You are petitioning. Notice, you are not interceding now. Let's assume that I don't want him to fall in July. Now, farmer wants rain to fall. Now, that is a prayer. I want to petition God now. I want to petition. Send petition letter. I must say the reason why I don't want rain to fall. Because the farmer are praying, God send rain. And I say, Lord, I don't want rain to fall. On what ground? He is the God and the father of farmers. He is the God, he is your God and your father. Let's assume I want to go and hold crusade. And I don't want rain to fall. Now, if rain did not fall for 4 days, their crops will not spoil. But the gospel want to preach to them. If some of them didn't receive it within that 4 days, somebody may die. And that's my reason now. And it is written in your word that we should go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we are now going to preach the gospel. We don't want rain to fall. That's petition. So I'm stating my reason for rain not to fall. But if I didn't state my reason, I just say, in these 4 days, I decree that rain will not fall, rain will fall. Because as I make my decree, some people are pulling the rain down. I didn't petition. That's not a prayer of petition. I can say, I decree, let your the sickness go now. That one, because Jesus removed your sickness. So I decree me is a prayer of faith, not a prayer of petition. A prayer of petition, you must state the reason why you don't want that thing to happen. But prayer of intercession, you are interceding in the behalf of someone else who may not even know you. That person may not even know that you are interceding for him. So this is the issue. So the prayer of intercession benefits the people you are praying, interceding for. But the prayer of petition both benefits you and others. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there great or small sin? If yes, are there consequences?
There is consequence to everything. You read it in the Bible. Simple.
First, is there great or small?
There is no great sin, there is no small sin. Sin is... Do you know why? Satan is Satan. There is no small Satan, that is no big Satan.
So how can I give myself continually in prayer and the ministry of the word, based on Acts chapter 6:4?
Yeah, by determining to do what they do. See, determination.
So as a woman, how can I please my husband in all things?
How can you please your husband in all things?
Yes, sir.
By looking at what God said and do it. Because you are the only one that know the kind of person your husband is. You understand the point? Because I've not read any part that says you should please your husband. He says submit. God is to be pleased. Submit. He didn't say please. Somebody may be pleasing her husband without submitting to the husband. Is that not true? He says, wife, submit to your husband in all things. He didn't say please your husband. You know the meaning of pleasing? To please someone means you are praising the person.
Okay.
To please God means to praise him. Thank you.
And somebody is asking, how best can I please God?
How best? By obeying what he said. The best way to please God is to ask on what God said. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The best way to please God is to praise God. The best way to please God is to praise God in every condition.
Thank you, sir.
Let's read our Bible very well. John chapter 8, verse 29. He that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, because I do always those things that please him. Now what are those things that Jesus does always? He praises God always. Psalm 69, please. Verse 30 and 31. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify with thanksgiving. This also shall please him. It means praising God and giving thanks to him is what pleases him. In every condition, give thanks to God. You never see Jesus complaining for a day. No matter the difficulty, thou shalt not complain. Praise him, then he will give you a way out of it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. How can I help my wife that does not like prayers?
How can you help your wife? You intercede for her. Don't look at her prayerlessness. Intercede for her. Genesis 25, verse 20 and 21. Genesis 25, And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. 21, please. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Any shortcoming you see in your wife's life, it is your duty to intercede for her. You don't need to tell your wife, oh, I'm praying for you over this matter. It's not necessary. Do that. Then you will see that weakness will go.
Thank you, sir. The Bible says, he that put his hands on the plow and looks back is not worthy. What are the basic signs of looking back as a Christian?
When you know your seriousness. You know, Christianity today, that I see today majorly, is when things is rosy. I mean, when things are all rosy, as if God is not there. So, if it's not rosy, then leave that place and go to where things are rosy. That's looking back. That's looking back already. Yes. What should be propelling us is for the joy that is set before us. As I'm going out today, as I'm going to that meeting, my spirit will be strengthened. My mind will receive transformation. My body will be quickened. With that, whether rain fall or rain no fall, you will be there. In those days, in the 70s, I mean the 90s, 80s, 90s, the Christianity we see then, when rain is falling, they use leather bar to cover their Bible. They are moving. They keep moving. But today, is the reverse. In those days, all their attention, God, without God, nothing else. Whatever Jesus cannot do, nobody else will do it. They were moving. Sometimes they tread. Some people will travel like from here to Magami to meeting. And when they are going, they will be going with joy. They will be singing. I am satisfied with Jesus every day. Something gonna be good on my way to the glory land. You will see them singing and be going. But today,
so that's it.
And that's why you see the Christian of old, they were powerful. They were powerful, but today, what do you see? I can't wait to the meeting, you know. I can't. I am satisfied with Jesus. I am satisfied with him. My faith in him shall never fail. I am satisfied with Jesus. These are the songs we're singing in those 90s. I will be going as if no problem. Some of us are not eating, no. We keep moving. Today the result is clear. Yes. But today, I will worship God when things are rosy, when things are not rosy. Bible. Let me tell every one of you, listen to this. If anybody preach a gospel to you that the moment you become born again, everything will be rosy to you spiritually, physically, financially, it's not true. That is half gospel. Philippians chapter 1. Let me read it for you very well. Let's read verse 28 and 29. Philippians chapter 1. And in nothing terrified by your adversity, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. Verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Is that your Bible? What does it mean of suffer? There are different songs we compose today. Only when things is going,
going on, we praise him, Abby. Thank you.
So what should a believer keep doing to keep his hands on the plow?
To keep following without looking back. To keep acting on what God says. You know, today, listen, let me say this. Most things that is practiced in Christendom today are religions. There is no difference between most of the practice today with paganism. Yes. Pre-paganism. Rituals. Activities. You see, some people go to meeting not because they really want to go. If they didn't go, they will accuse them that they didn't come. That is side service. You know one thing that God said? Is the heart that God look at it. The motive of everything we do. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. When you are in the place of prayer and God just showed you a picture of one of the God's generals and next thing you hear is grace.
Is?
Grace.
Okay.
How can you activate this grace into your life, especially when the picture God revealed to you is a person you have never met before? Mm. You only listen to his or her message, including those that have been with the Lord.
Yeah. You look for their materials. Go and check their biography. What do they do? Before they arrive at the heights they have, and you put them to practice. Look for their materials and study them.
Okay.
Check their biography. Practice what they practice. If they are biblical, then you will surely get them. Thank you.
How can you see Jesus in the storm of life?
How do you see Jesus in the storm of life? Yes. By knowing what he said and agree with what he said. Eh? Jesus need to feed 5,000, I mean, men, excluding women. And only 5 loaves and 2 fishes were there. And he said, this is enough. Now, if you have the last meat to eat now, then practice what Jesus practiced. Lift it up and bless God for that. Now see what God will do. Maybe I have to put the last grain of rice you have at home on fire as to give thanking God for that. Somebody may knock at your door. God bless you. Yes. I've seen the story. A certain man of God, there's no food for them to eat with the family. He put water, has to fetch water inside a cup and bless it. I said, children, we're going to eat delicious today. They give thanks to God for about 30 minutes. As soon as they finish, they went to drink the water now, somebody knock at their gate. Bring cooked food that they were not able to even finish. Yes. Even we that we are talking here, we have experienced it in this land. The issue is that do not look at what you can see. Look at what God said. It worked. Yes. Because the beginning of everything is always the beginning. The beginning is always little. Then the later hand shall greatly increase. So you check if I be confronted with lack. Jesus was confronted with lack. What did he do? Then do what he did. If I've been confronted with dead situation like Lazarus, what did Jesus do? Practice those things. That's how he does. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. When God reveals an assignment that your capacity cannot carry, what can you do?
God has never given an assignment to any man that man's capacity can carry. Any vision that God gives to a man that man's capacity can carry is not of God. God gives a vision based on his capacity, not based on man's capacity. As you agree with God, then you will seek for a step. Because God's vision is run by God, not by man. God's vision is run by God through man, not man running God's vision. So when he gives you a vision that is bigger than you, you will know how to depend on him. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Sometimes back we were told that when you pray in tongues, the words of God, that is the scripture, rolls into your heart, and that is God speaking back. But in a situation when all what is coming to your heart is sung uncontrollable, songs of hymns sometimes, how can you relate it to answers to your prayers?
Keep singing that song continuously and know the words, the words of those songs. The words of those songs will be a message. The unfortunate thing today, many sing songs without even, what is the word? What is the word? What is it? What is this word saying? Because when you wait on God, when you go to God's presence, He will give you a song. Psalm 40, please. Psalm 40, verse 1 to 3. That is why he said, in the presence of God is fullness of joy. Uh-huh. Psalm 40. Uh-huh. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my going. He had put a song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Psalm 32, verse 7, please. The Lord is my hiding place. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. In the dwelling place of the Most High, He compass you about with songs of deliverance. Songs. When you are praying to God, and songs keep rolling, that is what the Holy Ghost wants. Keep singing that song. If you have to take it the next 1 month, just keep singing that song. Then you will see the glory of God. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Did God hear the prayers of small children? One of our children is asking.
Did God hear the prayer of small children?
Mm-hmm.
If God did not answer their prayer, they won't get food to eat. If God is not answering their prayer, they won't be sleeping well. If God is not answering their prayer, they won't know what they are teaching them. God answered the prayer of small children. In fact, faster.
It's okay.
Do you remember? In Genesis chapter 21, let's read. It was the voice of the lad, the crying of the lad, that God heard. Can you please give us Genesis chapter 21, let's read verse 16 down to 19. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it was a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. That's her God. And God heard the voice of the lad, not the voice of the woman. Because the boy started weeping when the water finished. And God heard the voice of the lad. Was the lad praying? No. He was crying. God heard. And the angel of God called to Agar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Agar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. The question is, what was the lad doing? He was crying. That's his pain. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. Verse 19 now. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. Agar was crying, but God didn't hear him. Is it like? No, no, if there's no food in your house, you have a small boy or a small girl in your house. As that child is crying, God is hearing. And God must make provision. God will make provision. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. What did David do that made God to crown him a king?
To crown me a king?
To crown David. David. David was a king. So that God crowns him as a king. So what did he do that God crowned him?
He was a man after God's own heart. God appointed him. God had elected him. He didn't do anything to become a king. God chooses him to be a king. Psalm 78, verse 71 and 72. Because you need to see the scripture passage that backing what we are saying. So that we not just say we are saying some things. The meeting is organized to so that you can learn. The verse 70 to 72, from verse 70, please. He chose David, also his servant, and took him from the sheepfold. He chose, God decided, not David that decided. From following the Ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. Verse 72. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. David never prayed to be king. God shows him. So he does nothing to be king, but God shows him to be king. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. This person is asking if it is possible for one to marry God's will in marriage and still have problems or issues that others that might have just married have or suffered.
It's possible. It's very, very possible. Very, very possible. Yes. That you marry rightly does not mean you will not face challenges. But when you marry rightly and you are facing challenges, the challenges will not swallow you up. Did Isaac marry rightly?
Yes.
Did he face challenges?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. How can I wait on the Lord for strength?
For strength. You will have asked, what is the strength of the Lord? When the word of God breaks into your spirit, man, when you understand what God said, then the joy of the law fills you. Then that is the strength of the law. For the joy of the law is your strength. When you understand what God said, then you are strengthened. When you understand what God said, what happened to you? You will be strengthened. For the joy of the law is your strength. So when he said you wait upon the law, he didn't say wait. He said you wait upon the law. It means maybe as you are waiting, a scripture you are pondering until the understanding come out. The question today, many people waited in vain. See, they that wait upon the law, he didn't say they that wait. They are waiting upon something. Their spirit, their mind, their soul is waiting on something. To get the understanding of God. Give us Isaiah chapter 40, please. Verse 28 to 31. Very necessary. Has thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. The next verse. He giveth power to the saints,
And to him that have no mind, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. They wait upon the Lord. Where can we find the Lord? From his word. In fact, many pray today and not receiving answer because the word of God is not dwelling in them. The condition of prayer that Jesus gave us, if ye abide in me, and my word abide in you, you shall ask. Today people are asking without the word in them. This is the crisis. And he said again, they that reject the commandment of God, their prayer will be an abomination. Proverbs 28 verse 9. The word first. Because in the beginning was the word. The word first. The word first before prayer. Prayer is responding to what God says. Abi? Prayer is simply responding to what to God. You are responding to what God says through his word. So the word has to come first before prayer. Even before praises. Because it takes the word of God to tell you that you should praise God. How do you know that we should praise God? The word says. How do we know that we should give thanks to God? The word says. How do we hear that we should ask God for whatever we want, we need? The word says. So without the word of God, both prayer and praising will be useless. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. You see the key. Jesus really taught that about prayer. If you dwell in me, and my word dwelleth in you, ye shall ask. It means you are permitted to ask God for anything when the word has come to you. Today many people did not embrace the word of God, they started shouting. Because the solution of what you want to ask God is in the Bible. It's in his word. Thank you. Next question.
Thank you, sir. Perhaps the final question for today. What is the difference between the spirit of man and the Holy Ghost?
The spirit of God and the spirit of man. The spirit of man is man. The spirit of God is God. That's the Holy Spirit. And the purpose of bringing the Holy Ghost, one of the reasons is that so that the Holy Ghost will interact with your spirit. That is what is called inspiration. When you are born again and you receive the Holy Ghost, your spirit and the Holy Spirit are one and the same. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. It's not two. Your spirit and the Holy Spirit is one. Because the Holy Ghost gave birth to you. You and your children today, are you different? Can they see the traces of your father and mother in you? I'm asking questions. Yes. It means they can see the traces of the Holy Ghost in you because it's called the Father of Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 17. He that is joined to the law is one spirit. Simple. You are joined to him, it's one spirit. He recreated you, he gave birth to you. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9, the Father of Spirit. Call it the Father of Spirit. Hebrews 12, 9. The Father of Spirit. The Father of Spirit. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of Spirits and live? It's Father of Spirit. So the day you understand that your spirit and the Holy Spirit are one and the same, that's an interaction. You see things happen well. The Holy Ghost interacts with your spirit always. He gives your spirit understanding. That's why I say there is a spirit in man
with the inspiration of the Almighty, giveth understanding. In Job 32 verse 8. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, sir. That brings us to the end of today's edition, but sir, you cap it up with prayers.
Father, we give you praise once again. Thank you for your word that has gone forth. Permit your word to become life and spirit in us. And if there's any way we couldn't utter a word rightly, the Holy Spirit, you are the master of all.
We trust that you have been blessed by this message.
For more of our messages, visit our website www.thequeen.org.ng
or call the following numbers for more inquiries:
081-3553-7845,
080-6061-8421,
070-6227-0070,
081-3291-4775. Jesus is Lord.